Everyone has a story to tell. What's yours? You're listening to Around the World with Dan Perry. Do you enjoy hearing tales of world adventure? Would you like travel advice from those who know the road well? Maybe you want to embark on a journey of your own, and you just need a bit of motivation to get started. You'll find all of that and more on Around the World with Dan Perry.
Hello from Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. I'm sorry, I'm feeling a little bit sick right now. I came down with a pretty bad cold on the train out of Russia, so I'm going to keep this introduction short. I had planned to do a whole review of Russia with Katie. That's going to have to wait till next time, but look for that in a later episode. For today, though, I met a wonderful young woman named Maria Kankunova on the train to Ulaanude as we were crossing around Lake Baikal. And she was generous enough to give me an hour of her time to sit down and talk to me. She's part of the Buryat minority culture in Western Russia. Ulaanude is the capital of the Buryat region. And she was a great guest. She's really well traveled. She has a lot of ideas on how to improve her community. Well, let's just get right into it and listen to my talk with Maria Kankunova. Is this the most famous part of Ulaanude? We're looking at the back of Lenin's head right now.
Exactly. This is the most significant place in our city. Yes, this is the head where like people usually meet. And always when you like meeting somebody, you just let's meet near the head.
They just call it the head.
Yeah. Huh. The head.
It's a natural spot to meet, I guess. It's right in the middle of the city and everybody knows it. And it supposedly is the largest Lenin head in the world?
In the world, yes, exactly. And it's so funny, but it makes us proud.
Oh, okay.
But actually, the figure of this person, it's not like very, very proud of. But actually, it's nice thing. And we put this head everywhere, on souvenirs, on every stuff.
So yes. It's the statue that you're proud of and not the man behind the statue? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, probably.
Interesting. Because I was talking with Katie's brother last night, mm-hmm. and I was joking with him that it's much bigger than any Lenin head in the United States.
Yeah.
I've never seen such a big one in
exactly.
the U.S.
And you know, the politics in Russia, not politics, just like a system. I mean, statues, like Lenin statues everywhere in Russia, like start to broken it. I mean, people just want to...
Taking them down?
Yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
But this one, I don't want that. I don't know. They probably know.
Huh.
And you know, there is an interesting fact that we have Party of Communists here, and every year in May, they have responsibility to wash it.
Oh, really?
Yes, okay. Because it's like...
They must need a big ladder just to get to the head. There's a big platform underneath it.
Yeah, there is a big, machine. I mean, like car, which like...
It sprays thing. Water at it.
Yeah.
I see. And Katie and I actually went and saw the real Lenin.
Really?
Yeah, the mausoleum in Moscow.
Wow, I never...
No?
No.
Are they still talking about... taking that down too, burying him?
Yes.
Huh. The thing is, it's such a big tourist draw. A lot of people come to see it.
I don't know why.
I don't know either. It's kind of weird.
I never want to do it, actually.
Well, I talked about this in a previous podcast, mm-hmm. but now I've seen all of the major four communist leaders that are preserved. I've seen Mao and I've seen both Kims in North Korea.
Well,
so I've got them all.
We'll see.
But supposedly Ho Chi Minh also is preserved in Vietnam. But
wow.
I'm not quite sure about that.
Me either.
I don't know. Anyway, tell me about your culture.
Okay.
What's buryat? Is that how you say it?
Yes, buryat, buryaty. It's is like a nationality in Russia. We are like in the same group of with Mongolian people, and we have our national language, buryatsky, buryat language. And we have a lot of problems with this language, actually. What else? We have our national cuisine.
What is your cuisine?
It's a lot of meat.
A lot. Just a big plate of meat is your national cuisine?
Yeah.
And is it what cooked else? In a special way?
Well, I don't know. Have you tried buzi?
Oh, that's it? Buzi, yeah.
And in Mongolia, you will also like see a buzi.
And that's what it's called in Mongolia, too?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because we were couch surfing here and with another guy who's buryat, buryatsi. And yesterday morning for breakfast, we had buzi.
On the breakfast?
Breakfast, yes. Followed by a shot of vodka.
Wow.
Yeah, they really
good
were.
Good breakfast.
Yes, very good breakfast. Nice and hearty, get us all ready for the day, take on the rest of the morning.
Yeah.
But buzi was, just for people listening, I guess they'd call it bao in China. It's steamed buns with meat in it. Maybe it's bad if I say it's the same as Chinese, but probably a little bit different.
It's fine, because actually we have just a special type of meat, because it's mixed with pork and beef, and it's like cutted meat, very special way, with onions.
Oh, okay.
In it.
Oh, the ones so in China are usually just pork.
Yeah.
Typically.
But here, like, it's like mixed, and this is like special thing, but this is a steamed flour?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so...
Right, and I've noticed a few restaurants in the U.S. just over the summer when we were there that sell these. It seems to be becoming more popular.
Wow.
Or maybe I'm just noticing it now because I know what they are. Never knew.
Actually, I can say that that thing like becoming more popular. Actually, I can say that special buryat things are becoming very popular because last year I heard about yurts. It's
yes,
like special special houses which like can be like removed. I mean everywhere.
Right, nomadic people.
Yes, yes.
Live in them. Yurts or ger, I think they call
ger,
it.
Ger, yes.
Yeah.
Ger. It's a house from buryat or Mongolian language.
Uh-huh.
Ger.
Okay.
So you probably can use it for a camping for a while. I mean, like it's like. How to say, it's like Lego, I mean...
Sure, yeah. They're pretty big. I think we'll try to stay in one for a little bit.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's very natural and very nice to use it for like ecological way.
Seems cool. I've seen a few in India, in the north. They have these little shops by the road everywhere you go in India called dabas. And sometimes they're... a regular store, and sometimes they're in tents, and then in the mountains, really high up in the mountains, they're geared, and the people, I guess maybe sometimes move them too.
So I heard in the media that in Great Britain, these special geards are very popular.
Oh, really?
Yes, in using, but I never like really pay attention on this fact. Maybe.
I think most people in the West do know what a yurt is. At least have the concept in their brains.
Maybe they
haven't seen them, but it I could totally see that being really popular. Like have a campground of all yurts, and people would love to do that, sleep in them instead of staying in a cabin or something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe some buryat people could set this up in the States.
Oh yeah, let's make a startup.
Yeah, well, it's if you're nomadic, especially, you could. You're going to pick up and move anyway, just move very far.
Exactly. Not with your backpack, but actually, why not? Maybe there is a technology to do it.
Maybe. Well, do they need a bunch of horses to move them?
Yeah. Not bunch, but a horse.
At least one?
Yeah, at least.
Because they are like wooden poles all around the side. They're pretty sturdy. They're not like a normal tent.
Yes.
More like... semi-permanent.
Yeah.
Ah, it's great. I mean, the Native Americans, many tribes have lived in teepees traditionally.
Teepees.
You know, teepee? It's more pointy. It's pointing up. Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah.
Right, and it's not exactly the same, but similar concept. You live in a tent and can pick it up when you want to move with the seasons.
It's nice. Looks nice.
It's been, actually, for Russia, this is our last day in Russia, and Katie and I, we're going to leave actually in a couple hours, heading down to Mongolia.
But,
I know. It's been awesome here. But one thing we've really appreciated is camping here. We've just been out in nature a lot in this last month. It's been good weather, not too hot, not too cold. The trees are changing colors. It's been really awesome. And so just living in our tents, just... I'm not saying that we're nomadic or anything like that. Or like we're not on that hardcore level with Gares, but it just makes us feel more connected.
Mm-hmm.
Even just watching the moon change phases, I watched it get bigger and bigger, and now it's getting smaller. And it maybe in 4 or 5 days it'll be a new moon. And just understanding that is, there's something cool about that you don't get when you live in cities.
Exactly.
You know.
And you guys actually have chosen really nice time for camping, because it's like end of summer, like a beginning of September. Here in Siberia, it's nice weather, so it's not too hot and not too cold.
I mean, it's been beautiful.
Yes.
The last maybe 2 weeks have just been perfect weather, just warm and sunny every day.
Yeah, yeah.
A little chilly at night, but not too cold. When we first got to Russia, it was just raining all the time. And I thought that was all Russia was just rain.
No.
But that's so far from here, too. I think we've come over 4,000 kilometers from Moscow.
Exactly.
Oh, do you know the exact distance?
I don't know, actually.
Well, it's okay.
Like exactly, but it's like 5,000 kilometers.
5,000?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Very far. That's...
from Moscow.
Probably more further than like New York to California in U.S. terms.
Yeah.
So we're nowhere near the same place where we started. So of course the weather is going to be different, but it's still the same country.
Yes. And this is amazing fact about Russia.
Yeah, it's huge.
Yes.
Is this even considered the Eastern Russia yet?
Mm-hmm.
It is?
Yeah.
Because there's still, it goes quite a bit further east.
Actually, I can say that most of people identify themselves like Siberian person. I mean, Sibiryak or something
okay.
like that. Or, I don't know, or like more local identifier, I mean.
Yeah, so even the Russian, like white Russian people call themselves Siberian?
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly.
So it must get really cold here in the winter though, huh?
Yeah. Probably it's like 40 degrees with the minus.
Minus 40.
Yeah, minus 40.
Right. That's cold.
But actually it's nice because it's like dry cold, you know?
Okay.
Very dry and still sunny. So we have really sunny republic here.
Sure. Same with Wisconsin. When it doesn't get that cold very much, that would be maybe a record. But when it gets cold, like minus 20, it almost never snows. When it's that cold, it's just I think the clouds maybe warm things up.
Yeah, exactly. The same thing here. I mean, very cloudy and very sunny and very dry. And you can, you still can, I don't know, go skiing actually. And it's like comfortable cold.
Sure. And so you laugh though that like minus 20 is just, what is that, like October weather here?
Yeah, probably.
Right. I was joking, but I guess you're not.
Okay. I'm not.
Well, I'm glad we're heading south then right now.
Yes.
We want to get into the tropics before it gets to be winter. One good thing about traveling, you can pick your seasons. You don't have to deal with whatever season you're in where you live. So is Buryat territory all around Ulan-Ude, or how far does it go?
Actually, Republic of Buryatia, I'm not really good in numbers, but it's like approximately the same with Germany, just one republic.
Oh, okay.
And it's very like far, and our republic has many districts. I mean, like, small districts, like villages. And what else? The Lake Baikal, of course, the most deepest lake in the world. With clean water, and what else? Yeah.
Yeah, Lake Baikal was awesome.
Thank you.
We met on the train, and that was one of the best train rides I've ever had. Just staring at the lake all day. Wonderful. What else? Tell me about the language. You said there's problems with it?
Actually, I don't want to say, like, this is really big problem, like, to call all people to save it and so on, but I just want to share, because we have really problem with our language, Buryat language. I think you also see that there is no science, I mean, in Buryat language.
I wouldn't know.
There are some, like, all city is in Russian. I mean, the population here, mostly Russians, actually, like 70% is Russian people.
Even and here, in Ulan-Ude?
Yes.
Oh, okay. It doesn't seem like that.
Just looking around, but it is. Yes.
Okay.
And actually, maybe this is a normal situation, but I'm not sure, actually. We live in National Republic, and our state language is Russian and Buryat, but there is not so. We have no special, like, Buryat schools. We have no, good courses of language where just people can come and speak or even learn Buryat language. There are some courses, but you have to pay for it. Maybe not all people can, can do it.
Sure.
Yes. And actually, we have big politician campaign in 2014 or 2013, that people wanted to, to save our language and to put it in special,
like a category?
Yeah, something like that. But they didn't. I mean, they probably... Here, you know, there is special thing that if you go on that side or in this side, you can be like nationalist or something like that. So if you are like go and fight for like your national language here in Russian Republic, in Russian system, you can be like nationalist or something.
Oh, so you're labeled kind of a bad person.
Yeah, something like that. So, and people here are very aware of it. I mean, in every political, in every State Department, there is so like Russian people, like Russian workers and Buryat workers. And this number should
should be equal or representative.
Be the same.
Yeah.
So, and this is everywhere, actually.
Oh.
And this is, I don't know. I just see these differences and I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, losing a language is, that's really sad. I mean, language is such a huge part of culture. But do you speak Buryat?
No. This is a sad situation because my parents actually, they don't speak with me Buryat language. But I have studied Buryat language in school. Just three grades of my elementary school, and this is it.
Oh, so you just know the very basics?
Yeah.
Okay. It's interesting. The guy we're staying with, he grew up more in a remote area, so he speaks it.
Oh,
and
very nice.
With his mom, too. And they were switching back and forth between Russian and Buryat yesterday.
Very nice.
Yeah. I mean, Katie and I don't understand either. I guess he's more, just grew up with it more.
Yeah, because, the environment should be like, also should be like in Buryat language also. Mm. So you can practice it a lot. I didn't, so that's why I probably do not speak language at all. But I can understand, and this is a sad story, that in English language, like, more comfortable for me than Buryat.
Yeah.
This is very unusual thing.
It's sad, but also English is so useful if you travel.
Exactly. English, my favorite language.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah.
How did you learn?
I just learned in university, not in school.
Oh, so at age 18, let's say, you didn't speak
any?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
What about watching movies? Are they all in Russian here?
In Russian.
Ah, I see. Ah, but you learned it really well.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Yeah, your skills are so much better than the vast majority of people I've met.
Oh, sounds nice. But it's just like practice, I guess. Because I like travel, not a lot, but traveled.
Where have you been?
In States. In Europe, mostly in Germany, Poland, Czech Republic, in Switzerland, in Spain a bit. So yeah.
And these places you can use English.
Yes, exactly.
Pretty easily. So why did you go to Europe? Just travel or?
Actually, I traveled with some occasions like conferences or. Forums or different events, like special events. Like actually most of them some kind of like volunteering stuff. I mean, I just go there to volunteer.
Oh, what kind of volunteering?
In Germany we had a camp, how to say, like historical camp for like, let's say, like human rights and the stuff. But the activity was here, like, to save a museum there in Osnabrück, which was in German times, Second World War.
Ah, okay, I see.
I forgot the word.
What, firebomb, that kind of thing?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Well, it was like 10 years ago. Yes. Such project.
Oh, they're trying to restore the museum?
Yeah.
Oh, and you volunteered to fight for the ability to restore it, or did you actually build it?
We actually just, I was just like, how to say, paint. I mean, just paint like walls and so on. So.
Ah, that's cool. And what about these conferences? Is that for a job or for... volunteering also?
The last one just I had like last week in Switzerland. It was like an annual curator meeting of Global Shapers Community. It sounds really,
what's that mean?
really weird, but there is such a big community of leaders around the world, and I even couldn't imagine that there is so huge community. So they call people shapers because they are shaping the world with nice activity. A lot of projects like environmental, humanity, sustainable projects. Yes.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, and many greetings for them if they are listening.
They're called Shapers?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. We'll give a shout out to the Shapers.
Yes.
It sounds like something from Star Trek, like shape-shifting or something.
Probably. But we have really nice philosophy, like think locally, act globally.
Ah, right.
Yes. Because when you like making something like local, you can share because you have already experience and maybe this experience will be very, how to say, useful and nice for other people. So there are a lot of projects we made.
Oh, so can you give me some examples? It sounds like a broad variety of things.
Yes. Actually, if you don't mind, I will tell you about our project.
Of course.
It's called Baikal Patrol.
Okay.
Baikalsky Patrol. Which is made for solving environmental problems around Baikal. Actually, it's like a mobile application. I can show you. So this application works like on the mobile phone, and you can use it for different problems. When you see like a trash,
yeah.
or I don't know, even like fire in the forest, uh-huh. you can make a picture, and this picture goes to a map, like Google Map,
yeah.
and you can see like map with a lot of problems. Yeah,
and then people go to fix it?
Yeah. But you know, this is just like how to say it, the beginning of the project. So we want to call every like state departments to use it also.
Okay.
But actually, they didn't know yet. I mean, how to use it and so on. It's how to say it's not their duty actually.
Sure, but do volunteers go and help?
Yeah.
This sounds like such a good idea. You could do this everywhere.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
So in this forum, in this global shaping, how to say, meeting, we just shared this project, and many countries, I mean, representatives of different countries, like Malaysia, Aruba, what else, Mexico, they like very interested in this project also. So now we want to translate it, because the whole things, all stuff in this application in Russian. So we want to translate it and to share. Maybe they are like, how to say, to will join us, and maybe we will share it for a big distance, I mean.
Yeah. Oh, it's a great idea. I wish we would have known about this before. Because maybe we can help anyway, just out of memory. Because we camped on Lake Baikal, and someone was nice enough to put up an outhouse, you know, bathroom outside. Mm-hmm. And it's free camping, so there's no one even living around there. It's just someone put up an outhouse, which is mm-hmm. a great thing, so
yes.
that people don't go to the bathroom everywhere outside. Well, what happened is somebody threw their trash into the outhouse, and now you can't actually use it for its intended purpose. And now everyone just goes to the bathroom against a tree.
Wow.
You know, and leaves their toilet paper outside.
Oh, gosh.
I mean, I've seen worse. It's not horrible, but it could definitely be cleaned up.
Oh.
Must be noon. Churches.
Yes.
Or is this a church?
This is a gym of our republic, actually.
A gym?
Hymn.
The song is a hymn. Oh, okay.
Yeah. At 12 o'clock, always, like hymn, like our state hymn. Not Russian, but really Buryat.
Ah, okay.
Таёжная, озёрная, степная.
Is that Buryat language? Yeah.
No, it's Russian, but actually we have in Buryat. But yeah, it sounds nice.
Yeah, it sounded good. It's short.
Yeah.
We saw a church, an Orthodox church in... in Yekaterinburg.
Mm-hmm.
It played this beautiful song, but
wow.
it probably played for like 10 minutes.
Wow.
And there were guys actually in the bell tower hitting all of these different bells.
Nice.
Do 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 do. And just a really elaborate song. It's like they do this all day, every hour for 10 minutes. It's crazy how much effort goes into it. We also have a lot of kids playing. I'm sure we can hear that on the audio.
Yeah.
They're not birds. Those are children running around Lennon.
Yeah. Very nice.
Doing laps around his head.
So nice.
Anyway, where were we? We were talking about this app. It sounds great. So you can list all these problems anywhere you go, and then maybe every time you go out, you just fix one.
Very nice.
That would be really nice to do.
And if you are also interested, then you can, it's a Google, in the Google Play, I mean, you can, this is actually unreleased because we have not enough numbers of users.
Aha,
Yeah, just 100. It's like approximately 100.
Okay.
Maybe less. So, but if you are interested in, it's still in the Google Play, so you can like find it. Maybe, not maybe, actually we will translate it exactly in October, I guess.
Okay.
We will finish it. So we will renovate it and yeah.
Well, I'll definitely look for it, and I'll put up a link on my website too.
Thank
so
you.
Other people can get it too. Yeah, I just love the concept.
Thanks a lot.
You said you went to the States too.
Exactly.
So what did you do there?
Actually, 10 years ago, I just worked there as a waitress in two cafes. One cafe was like, I don't know, you, of course you know, Sonic Drive-In.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And another one like Steak and Shake.
Okay.
Both of them, it was very like nice and old-fashioned cafe. So there I just practice my language, my English.
Oh, that's cool. I've actually never eaten at either of those.
Really?
Yeah, Sonic is pretty big across the country, but some parts it hasn't quite hit. And where I'm from, Wisconsin, I think they've opened maybe two or three now, but only recently. So it hasn't quite spread everywhere. It's not like McDonald's.
Okay. But actually, it was in a very nice city, in Branson.
Branson, Missouri.
Yay!
You liked it?
Well, not actually really like, but I enjoyed. It was like fine.
Yeah, I mean it's not exactly a microcosm of the whole country. It doesn't represent everything.
Yeah. But,
Katie and I have driven through Branson, but never actually stopped there. I guess we're not part of the target market. We're about 50 years too young.
Maybe in future you will. How to say?
Yeah, eventually we'll go there.
Yes.
All I really know about Branson actually is from an episode of The Simpsons. I think first they accidentally went to Bronson.
Bronson.
And everyone in the city was Charles Bronson. And then they went to Branson and did this whole song at the end of the episode with Mr. T and all these old celebrities. Is that pretty much what it is? Singing and dancing?
Yeah. In every like streets. I mean, I remember how many theaters and shows they like have 600 in the city.
600 theaters?
And shows,
okay, so some theaters have many shows.
Yeah.
I see. Wow.
Yes, exactly.
And it's not a big city.
Yeah, and I never been in such kind of show, and even in theater, but I was in a museum called Titanic. It's like big, ship in the center of this city. And I've been in two parks there. And
The Titanic Museum, the museum is the Titanic?
Yes.
Or is it really the Titanic or just a replica?
Replica, of course. I mean, it's like, it looks like a ship, big ship. Mm-hmm. So like a Titanic is maybe. So, and very nice actually to visit.
Cool.
Why not?
Yeah, it's weird. For some reason, we're obsessed with the Titanic. I mean, that was, 105 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And of course, it was the most amazing ship ever at the time. But now there's ships that are far, far bigger.
Yeah.
And other ships that have sunk, but none are famous like the Titanic.
So maybe because of story. I mean, like love story and so on.
Yeah, because of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, and Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet. Yeah, when those two sank on the Titanic, it was such a great love story.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure that was all completely true.
Of course.
Yeah, it's just interesting what sticks in history, what doesn't. That's one that stuck.
Yeah. Actually, Branson was a really nice place. I mean, the community community there was very, like, kind.
Okay.
Because it's so usual for them to accept international students who are, like, working there, so...
And was it mostly Russians or everybody?
Jamaica, even from Jamaica, uh-huh. Moldova, European Union, like countries.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot.
You just have to speak English and...
Yes.
And you can get a work visa pretty easily?
Yes.
Is there some sort of age limit for that or can anyone apply?
Well, actually, it's like you should be in special age. I mean, like this is a student's program.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Jamaican people can like be on the other age. I mean, yeah.
And so then the idea is you go and work because they just need a lot of help in this town? And
actually, this is good opportunity to practice your language.
Okay.
And actually to see the world.
This yeah, and like, of course,
yeah,
see
yeah,
the world.
To like points
see the Titanic.
Yeah, yeah. And Branson.
I'm sure it's been your dream your whole life.
Yeah. I wish to be like Kate Winslet or something.
And did you travel around outside of Branson or only in Branson?
Actually, I've been in New York and Washington, D.C.
Okay.
So it was very nice. I wish to, how to say, to make it happen again.
Go back?
To go back,
yeah, to those same places or somewhere Where else would you go?
Well, I would like to go to New York and maybe New Orleans. Or,
New Orleans, yeah.
Yeah, maybe San Francisco. I don't know, actually. Maybe Burning Man, actually, we discussed about
it. Oh, yeah, we talked about it a little bit on the train.
Yes.
Cool. What makes you so interested in Burning Man?
Actually, I like a philosophy, an idea. I mean, like sharing and interesting things, like people coming together and just celebrating and doing, I don't know, yes, something.
That's a huge spectacle.
Yes.
I haven't gone, but I just know a lot of people who have. Sounds like something you should probably do once, go to Burning Man.
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah.
Some people get so addicted though, they go every year.
No, just once, I guess. But of course, if you will try just once, you will probably want to make it happen.
Yeah, probably, yeah. Right. Huh. Well, I can I think you need to do a lot of research before Burning Man and try to hook up with other people. And
yeah, yeah.
From what I understand though, they're really welcoming. Mm-hmm. Everybody just wants it to be a big community. So it shouldn't be too hard. It's just getting there at the right time of year.
Yeah.
I think it's harsh conditions, right? Right in the desert.
Exactly.
Right at the end of
summer.
I mean,
Maybe it's something like nomadic thing. I mean, like from my like spirit or something. Maybe it's just because of they have very interesting events. I mean, like, how to say, they are making costumes, like cosplay or something, and just installations and Burning Man and this stuff. So it's like, sounds good.
Yeah.
So that's why. But I don't know, something like that.
That's cool. Yeah, and I did go to New Orleans a few years ago. And everybody thinks of Bourbon Street as New Orleans, like the famous street you walk up and down, and there's all the balconies and people throwing beads. But I found, and also, of course, Mardi Gras.
Uh-huh.
I found when I stayed there, because I couch surfed there, that the locals don't even go near Bourbon Street. Yeah, they don't like it because it's so touristy.
Yeah.
So they go to other parts. And so my host took me out to some other places.
Very special one.
Yeah, and he lived right in the Lower Ninth Ward, which is the part that was probably worst hit by the hurricane, by Katrina.
Wow.
So they're rebuilding it, and basically every house in that neighborhood got destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really sad, and it hasn't all been rebuilt, and it's just this big, part of it's kind of a big wasteland, and part of it is brand new houses. Really, it's a really interesting city to visit.
Okay.
You have to be a little careful though walking around. There's a lot of crime there.
Mm.
Yeah, but especially that area, because it's unlike anything you've ever seen. It's just demolished in so many ways. We actually walked through an abandoned school, the school that got destroyed in the hurricane, and it's all boarded up. All the windows are all covered. So I don't think this is legal. We snuck inside and walked around it, and it's just completely black inside, so you need a light flashlight. And you could see all of the old desks and stuff that were destroyed by the flooding. And we actually went all the way up to the top floor and found the principal's desk. And on the desk, there was a newspaper. Mm-hmm. And the newspaper was from like a day or two before the hurricane hit.
Oh my gosh.
And the headline said something about like Hurricane Katrina is coming, and they were predicting that it wouldn't hit New Orleans.
Oh my gosh.
They thought it would hit somewhere close to, far enough away that it wouldn't get.
So they wouldn't expect it, I mean.
Not until, it's a long story, but not until maybe a day or two before.
Sure.
And they, Yeah, they tried to evacuate, but not everyone could leave. It was just a huge problem.
Aww.
Yeah, big failure in government. But this newspaper was so spooky, just looking at it and just realizing this is the last thing that ever happened in this school, and now it's done forever.
Yeah.
I can show you a picture of it, too, later.
Like, sure.
I'll put it up on my website, too. But anyway, you can do, maybe you could say, non-touristy things in New Orleans. Obviously, if you want to do the touristy stuff, too.
Okay.
That's available. Were you thinking of going during Mardi Gras?
I don't know.
That's always, February?
Mm-hmm.
It's the weekend before Lent.
Mm-hmm.
For Catholics, mostly. But it's just turned into a big party.
Wow.
And Brazil, too. Do you know Carnival in Brazil?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So that's cool to see.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Oh, Dasha.
Visitors.
Yes, here. Dasha, Ayuna, Dan.
Nice to meet you.
Hello, good to meet you. Hello, Dasha.
Все, мы снимаем
Окей.
Клипы, поехали уже на следующую локацию. Все, скажи пока-пока.
Bye-bye.
Very nice. This is my friend, and she's actually filming. I mean, like, there are so many weddings.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah, and they're making, like, films with her husband. And this is, like, their daughter.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we saw a lot of weddings yesterday. It was Saturday.
Yes. Yeah. Like, actually, at Friday, they have really special day, and of course, on Saturday, they have. Because nearby, there is a, general department where you can register your marriage. How to say it.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. ZAGS. So that's why every person, like, go there to get married. But this is, like, the general one in the city.
Oh, okay.
Because that's why here there are a lot of
photographers?
Yeah.
Okay.
People.
Why don't we pause this and move? Because the hose is turned on and there's more noise.
Feminism here in Ulan-Ude, it's very weird thing, and just appeal not so, I mean, how to say, not so...
Not broad?
Yes.
Not many people identify as feminist?
Exactly. Uh-huh. And this is actually a difficult story, because... people always, I mean, men especially, always, but even women, asking always, like, for which reason are you fight for? I mean, we are already on the same position. We are, like, equal already. We have,
so you have equal rights already,
yeah,
and
equal
responsibilities. And,
yeah, you are not live in Muslim countries or something like that. So why? And this is the very first question I have, and which is most difficult for me. Actually, I am feminist. But for me, it's like, how to say, not like religion, or this is just way of life.
Okay.
I don't want to go and march somewhere, like, to, I don't know, against for, vote for, or something like that.
Right.
I just want to say that we have to be more kind or to women. I mean,
what are some of the problems that women face here?
Here, the first problem is, like, a pressure of the community. Women always have to have to do everything. I mean, to look after husband, children, work, be very successful, pretty, and very nice. Yeah. But
you it's don't, hard to do all of that.
Yeah. You don't have to. You don't have to do anything. I mean, of course, if you want to do it, I mean, to help or to have a children or something, to work for, to, I don't know, to look after your husband even. So, and if you want it, and this is like your like real desire, or how to say, you can, you may, you, I don't know.
Sure, do live life how you want to live it.
Of course, but the community here, it's very traditional and very, I don't know, even family, because people here know each other, and they know your relatives, and you know, they know your like colleagues, even though, so, and they are always aware what people will say, you know? That's why it's like
a lot of gossip then.
Exactly.
Sure, small town kind of culture.
Exactly. And there are so many problems. And another point is like here we have no freedom to be ourselves. Hmm. Yeah. So that
boy, it's interesting this dichotomy that you're fighting for your Buryat culture. But then Buryat culture is in some ways oppressive to women,
exactly.
And so you want to fight for
exactly.
women also, but those two are almost mutually exclusive in some ways.
This is very like something.
Yeah, how do you rectify that? Do you just hold these both of these worlds, these world views simultaneously, and even though they don't really mix?
Actually, I just wanted to balance. I don't know, but I don't know how to do it more like sustainable or something. Huh. Yeah, because of too many things like to follow. But actually, feminism for me it's like more confidence story, because with such way of life, I became more. Confident with myself, stronger or something.
You seem very confident.
Thank you.
I mean, as soon as we saw you on the train, you were
thank
talking
you
away
much.
To us.
Thank you. But actually it is, and I want to share this experience with other girls which are not so
assertive.
Actually they do not want to call themselves, they are not ready to call themselves feminists. And this is very also like weak or something, because they are really afraid of, I don't know.
I see. So do you have meetings or what? How do you do this?
Well, actually, the community here is very hidden. I can say that it's like just works. They working online. They have some group in social network, and they call themselves iFreedom.
iFreedom.
Okay. Yes, Svoboda. And they just make some events like photo shoots or special projects. Very easy. I mean, like easygoing, not so like struggling, go and fight for, or like I don't know, even like. In Moscow, I forgot the word of the feminists there. Okay, just be like more stronger or empower.
Yeah.
Something like that. Inspire them.
Sure. I think that's good advice for anybody. Just don't live your life based on what other people expect you to do.
Yes.
You need to live how you want to live it.
Exactly.
As long as you're not hurting other people, but it's your life.
And you know, here there is no, and this is like actually a problem which I want to someday try to solve or help.
Okay.
Maybe there is no psycho support for anybody.
I see.
I mean, there are some psychologists,
yeah,
but there is no psychotherapist therapists or something.
Ah, okay.
And for Russian people, it's so unusual to go like in such service.
Sure.
And always, huh, are you crazy maybe or something?
Yeah.
So, but this is actually normal to do this. I mean, it's very normal.
I think for Americans too, it's
really
maybe like 30 years ago, even 20 years ago, mm-hmm. it was like, you must be crazy. Do you want to see a shrink?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, something's wrong with you. And now it's only now becoming more acceptable. So maybe in that aspect, we're a few years ahead, but not that many.
And here we have no such support for women. I mean, special support, like, I don't know, when you like, how to say, want to share your feelings and so on.
Yeah.
There is no such community and service. And this is so sad. But this is actually my idea, or how to say, a point of view. Like, we discussed about it actually in the cafe. In temples, in that sense, they have special rooms where monks are sitting and working, and people just go there and to ask him what I want to do, I mean, this year, or what I should, like, do.
Ask for advice?
Yes. You mean?
Okay.
So people here, instead of weak, or how to say, instead of, because of we have no such psychological support,
yeah,
people just go there and speak with your like monk.
I see.
And discussing with him, so he can, how to say, help to find your way.
Sure.
Actually, he's not like you have to do it or that or right. anything. He just like, how to say, you can by yourself, you can decide and choose sure. what you want.
So he gives you the, he tells you what the doors are. And
yeah,
now it's your job
yeah,
to
yeah,
walk
exactly.
through them.
Okay. That's why our monks are very popular.
Right.
And everybody goes there. And there are a lot of, I mean, lines. I mean, a lot of people waiting for like them.
Really?
Actually, I have my monk with whom I like discussing or just asking him for.
Yeah, okay.
And this is very interesting because this is not like religion thing, like really Buddhist, because everybody goes there, even like Russian people, not, and they are not
Christians go there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They are not Buddhist at all, but they are like living here and they understand that it's very useful.
Cool. So you want to push the feminist community to go do this? Is that what you're saying?
Not really, but I probably think that it would be nice, I mean, to use this type of, how to say, like support.
That kind of support.
Yeah. So, but here, yes, actually, because of lack of psychic support, we just usually go in Buddhist temples.
And are the monks always men?
Yeah.
Or are they don't allow women?
Actually, in Ulan-Ude, we have a monastery, like women monastery here. And our head of Buddhist Russian, of Russian Buddhists, he said that it's not allowed for women because women is, women are, let's say, not, well, they do not, they can't understand Buddhist philosophy.
They can't.
This is his quote. Oh. I mean, like, so that's why, like, monks are men.
I see. Maybe it's time to start your own monastery.
Yeah, why not? I should discuss with your friend.
Ah, maybe.
Coach
right.
Surfer.
Right, he's a monk too. Or maybe monk in training, I'm not quite sure. Lama, he says.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe, are you thinking of starting up like meetings where you can maybe replicate?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not make your own monastery, but
okay.
maybe replicate what they do.
Mm-hmm.
and have this kind of advice and talking and helping each other and motivation. Is that what you're working on here?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I would love to work, like, I mean, to have such profession, actually, to do like this. But yeah, let's say so.
Oh, sounds great. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, you've got a lot of projects.
Yes, because of like, I have such personality. I mean, like, I want to do this and that and yeah,
right,
all this
many
stuff.
Different interests.
Yes.
And what do you do for work?
Actually, I'm PR specialist.
Oh, at a company yeah. here?
I quit it last year.
Ah.
And finished my PhD.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and this year it's like, I would love to start something new.
Oh, well, what's your PhD in?
This is like social philosophy, and the theme connected with ethnical identity here. I mean, like Buryat identity.
So it's mostly studying Buryat
yes,
culture?
Yes. But not yeah. language at all, but culture, actually.
Ah,
traditions and stuff.
Okay, so you want to do something with that then for your next job?
Not really.
What do you want to do then?
Well, I didn't decide yet.
Oh, okay.
Just, I finished my PhD and like want to observe. And then maybe I just have like 2 months more to think, but then I will decide what I'm gonna do in the next few years.
Okay, so it could end up being just about anything then.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because my PhD took a lot of like time and power.
A lot of energy,
yeah,
effort.
Yes.
I'm sure. So are you maybe a little drained? What about travel? Why don't you travel?
Yes, travel, it's very nice thing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So any idea where to go?
I want to go to Israel.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, because I like, they have kibbutz.
Yes, yes.
And I really like the idea of sharing things. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to, like, to see it. Maybe it is not so attractive thing for, like, for follow or something, just to see. I mean,
well, I have a friend who worked on kibbutzes
really?
for several years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think there are some that you can join if you're not
wow.
Jewish, and they'll take anybody.
Mm.
And it sounds like a really interesting concept. Like you live there, they feed you, you do some work.
Yeah.
And you can really learn a lot too.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I like it.
How about woofing? Have you tried that ever? Or do you know what it is?
No.
Oh, I think it stands for Willing Workers on Organic mm-hmm. Farms.
Wow.
I can show you a link to it.
But sure.
It's this global organization where you go work on a farm,
mm-hmm.
and they teach you how to grow vegetables and
very nice.
Yeah, organic farming. And you just you have to work a few hours a day, and they let you stay there and feed you.
Nice. And this is like in States mostly or?
No, it's all over.
Oh, wow.
I've been warned though, I've never actually tried it. Some of them are really good. Like they really want to teach you and they want you to take what you learn and then teach other people and how to grow
very
food.
Very nice.
And how to eat healthy, how to be an organic farmer and use it for the rest of your life. Some of them just want people to work and they're not so interested in teaching you.
Oh.
And so you have to find a good one. But if they take you, then you don't need any money.
Nice.
So you just have to go and they have it in many countries. So pick a nice country that you want to go to and you can just work on a farm there for a month or two.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It sounds very impressive.
It has a lot of appeal. For sure.
Actually, I want to have like that experience and bring it back here. I mean, I wouldn't expect that I will live like abroad.
Uh-huh.
Maybe just like travel for a while. I mean, like 1 year or maybe more, and then like come back here to be useful for community.
Yeah.
I mean, to continue struggling.
Act locally.
Yes.
Thinking globally.
That sounds good, yes.
Yeah, traveling for a year, that's always good. That's what we're doing.
Very nice idea.
I mean, I traveled for like 2.5 years in South America, and then and you would think after that I'd want to just keep going and travel the rest of the world, and at least for a while I was fine with just going home and planting some roots, so to speak, like building a community there. And, I mean, not that I'm a big community leader or anything, but just making a lot of friends and joining different groups. And so I spent 6 years just living in Wisconsin and not traveling at all, really. But now I'm back at it.
Wow.
Once again. So I think for me, it's good to go between worlds, like seeing the world and just learning so much about how different people live, and then taking some of that knowledge back home with me.
Yeah.
And applying it to my own life. I really enjoy this. Maybe that's what you'd want to do too.
Some kind of. But and your experience, your example, very inspiring, actually. And thank you for it, because I wouldn't expect that just in a train somewhere in Irkutsk, near my home city, I would meet some pair of people which are like so kind and so inspiring with the travel and all this stuff. Yes.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I never thought I'd meet such a great Buryat person either.
Oh my God.
Like, just Katie and I were just talking about how, like, man, Russia's been awesome for us. We weren't expecting it to be so nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so much better than we thought it would be. But the one downside,
mm-hmm,
is that we haven't met a lot of English speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't speak Russian, and we're only here a short time, so we're not really learning it. And we really like meeting people.
Mm-hmm.
So then you came in, and we met you. And this, honestly, for Ulan Ude, mm-hmm, this is our last stop in Russia.
Wow.
And we thought we would just come here for a few hours, really, and from Irkutsk, and then just get on another train and leave.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought, why don't we stay for a day or two and just check it out. And I'm really glad that we did.
Nice.
So thank you so much for for entering my life, and it's been awesome. I really, you've helped to make this trip a really great thing for us.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And yeah, it's such a, I'm very appreciate that you like this city a lot, because it's very small and very nice, actually. Even we have a lot of problems here with language, with culture, with feminism, and so on.
As we've discussed all of
that. Yeah, yeah. So, but I really like it, and I really want to make it, how to say, more kind, and I don't know. Yeah.
I think you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
Thanks once again to Maria Konkonova for coming on the show, and thank you for listening. For more information about some of the stuff we talked about today and some great pictures of the region, you can go to my website, 1000daysbetween.com. That's the number 1000daysbetween.com. Thanks, and I'll talk to you next time.